In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is risen. From the very beginning of creation, God has intended our life to be centered in Him. But instead of remaining in that place and partaking of the tree of life, we all know the story. Adam and Eve chose a different path. They chose to partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And as a result of that, they lost the likeness of God, and thus all mankind is lost. That was part of our original creation. Mankind needed to learn that living life apart from God is no life at all. That in fact, living apart from God is a form and kind of death. We all must discover this reality on some level. It must become personal in our lives for us to come to realize that we need God in our life, and apart from Him, life is not worth living. We all must discover that sin contributes to that separation from God, that sin gives birth to death within ourselves. When we live our lives apart from God, not following that path that He intended for us to follow, our life is but an empty shell of what it could truly be. And God intended our lives to be meaningful, to be filled with love and joy and peace, but only as our life is centered in Him, connected to Him. And in a sense, these past weeks, this entire Lenten journey that led us to Christ's crucifixion and resurrection illustrates this one point. We make this journey of repentance because we ourselves have fallen from grace. We have gone our own way. We have lived our life to our own devices apart from Christ. And we too have discovered that life apart from Christ is no life at all. And so Great Lent illustrates that journey back to where we belong. We return to Christ because in Him is life. We make that journey to the cross and the empty tomb because this is where life makes sense. Christ's resurrection is what real life is about. It makes real life possible. It makes life worth living. The resurrection of Christ is what we truly seek to attain and to live in that reality and to be connected to that reality. We must return to that place again and again. It is only in the experience of the resurrection of Christ. It's only in the experience of Christ's resurrection life that we know life at all. And it is the same reality that essentially the early disciples of Christ discovered. We get a snapshot of this experience in the epistle text today. We hear how many signs and wonders were being performed by the apostles. And certainly these signs and wonders were not performed by their own power. In their own name, these were wonders that were performed by the power of God that was operating through them. In the name of Christ Jesus, the wonders pointed to Christ and glorified. Certainly we recognize that the resurrection life of Christ was in them. It was in their community. It is what united them to one another. The resurrection of life of Christ was in their midst. And the wonders that we see were simply evidence of the life of Christ that was in their midst and working through them. I've heard some people say that miracles happen every day. But certainly the kind of miracles that we see in the epistle text, we recognize those don't happen every day. They're not everyday common experiences. We recognize when things like that happen, God has truly intervened in a miraculous manner. Yet having said that, we also recognize that signs and wonders have always been considered to be a normal part of the Christian life. And thus, that statement alone, it leads us to false conclusions sometimes when we take it to extremes or we try to make a equation out of it. And so, on one hand, we could say that a lack of signs and wonders could point to the fact that we are lacking faith, and this is true. It could indicate that we lack faith. It could also indicate that there's a lack of piety in our life. Perhaps there's sin in our life that is preventing God from operating through us, and thus there is a lack of signs and wonders. But you see, we can't make a formula out of this or make it an absolute statement because the inverse isn't true. Every time God doesn't heal, every time we don't see something miraculous, it's not indicative necessarily that there is a lack of faith, a lack of piety. These things rest in God's sovereignty. They are a part of God's will, and they are up to God to work and will as He sees fit and is according to His pleasure. Likewise, when something miraculous happens through an individual, we don't uphold that individual as something spectacular. We recognize God is operating through the individual. And that person, just because some sign or wonder has been done through them, isn't elevated onto a pedestal and to be considered some kind of living saint, and everything they do and say is automatically a revelation by default of the kingdom of God. It's not necessarily how we should see it, and it's certainly not what we should do. We should recognize they're individuals, they're human beings like us that God has chosen to use. And today's epistle text is, in a sense, a continuation of a story that began in chapters previous, where we see how Peter dealt with this whole issue. After Peter healed a paralytic, he and John are on the way to the temple to pray. And there is a paralytic there asking for alms of the people that are going in and coming out of the temple. And Peter turns to him and says, "Silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I will give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise and walk." And the man rose and walked, and he walked away walking and leaping and praising God. And the crowd that was there gathered, stood in awe. And they just stared at in wonder at what had just happened. And the Apostle Peter immediately took that opportunity as a teachable moment, as a moment to preach the gospel. And he says to them, "Why do you stare at me as though it is by my own power or my own piety that I walk?" And then he proceeds to preach the gospel. It is Jesus Christ who was crucified in your midst, who is still in your midst, operating through us. Many were converted to Christ as a result of that event, and the chief priests, they were not happy with this event. Immediately, Peter and John were arrested, and they were forbidden to speak or preach or to do anything in the name of this man, Jesus Christ. So what we see in today's epistle text is, in a sense, a continuation of that same story of Peter and John still doing what they had already been doing. It's a defiance, in a sense, of the chief priests, because they chose to obey God rather than to men. Peter could not stop speaking of Christ. He could not cease doing wonders in the name of Christ. He could not refrain from teaching the people about Christ, because Peter's life had become touched by the resurrection of Christ. It had become infused with the resurrection life of Christ, and there is no way to turn off that flow once he had tapped into it. He could not stop sharing the riches of life in Christ, because it was abundant and rich inside him, and it flowed out to everyone who was around him. So he is arrested again, as we hear in the epistle text, and yet another wonder takes place. An angel miraculously visits him, delivers him, and says what? "Go and speak to the people all the words of this life." What life? The life of Christ, of course. It's an allusion to Christ's life, to who Christ is and the resurrection life that is in him. And the Apostle Peter does just that. The Apostle Peter was filled with the life of Christ, and signs and wonders happened naturally as a result of this. He was plugged in to Christ. But signs and wonders, we recognize, are not something that is in our hands, in our control. Signs and wonders are ultimately in God's control. We have to be open to be used by God. But healings and miracles are not ultimately our choice. They are ultimately God's gift to be used at his discretion. And certainly we would recognize that we don't all possess the same spiritual gift. There are spiritual gifts of miracles and healing, and not everyone possesses these particular spiritual gifts. But what we need to understand today, as we read this and we read the life of the early community of Christians, we all have access to that same resurrection life of Christ. And regardless of whether healing or miracles are our gift, we do have access to, and it is our call, to make that journey to Pascha and to remind ourselves of Christ's life that is what our life is all about, to reconnect with the life of Christ, to once again seek for our life to be filled with Christ's resurrection life. It is the resurrection life of Christ that should be in us and overflowing to the people around us. It's manifest in some way. In the epistle text, we see it's signs and wonders was how it manifests. But it's still going to be manifest and still needs to be manifest through each one of us, whether it's signs and wonders or whether it's help, whether it's service, whether it's giving to people, whether it's offering hospitality, whether it's doing works of charity. It has to overflow and be touching others that we encounter. Christ's life is to be within us and producing the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Spiritual gifts like healing or miracles may not belong to us, but the fruits of the Holy Spirit, these are things that all of us are supposed to possess. All of us are supposed to seek. They're not given to one and not to another. The gifts of the Spirit are particular, but the fruits of the Spirit, they're accessible to one and all alike. And they naturally happen in us when we invite Christ's resurrection life to fill our lives, to sustain our lives, when we center our lives on Christ and His resurrection life. Truly, life apart from Christ is no life at all. Life apart from Christ is rather a kind of death. We know this, and we have journeyed through Lent to put our focus where it belongs. We have returned to the cross and to the empty tomb to encounter once again Christ in His crucifixion and His resurrection, to encounter once again a connection to that resurrection of life of Christ that He bestows upon us all. Let us receive today from that life once again. We were created to live in union with God our Creator, and the resurrection of Christ makes this possible. The resurrection of Christ makes life livable. The resurrection of Christ makes life truly more abundant. May we evermore praise and glorify Christ our Lord, who has bestowed this resurrection life upon us all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.